going on here?
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker.
But you are not a Jedi yet.
You are a vain, greedy, cruel boy.
You are an old man and a fool!
You're unworthy!
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Hey! Take those headphones off right now!
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Anybody care about what I want?
I do.
Shut up. Get out.
Are you stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder?
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I got a bad feeling about this.
This drink, I like it. Another!
No. I am your father.
Guys,
I'm bringing the party to you.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Welcome to episode 2 of season 3 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm Joe Hogarty, and joining me is Ron Deanna.
Aloha.
Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
Taylor Catcher.
Yep.
And new to the team, Eric Lancey.
Hi, everybody.
And welcome, Eric. Glad you're on board.
Thank you very much. I'm really happy and excited to be here.
Alrighty. Alright, on tonight's episode, we will be playing Jeopardy! The Nerd Alert Edition. But before that, we'll get right into the news. And big news breaking today. Harrison Ford almost crashed his plane into an American Airlines passenger plane. He was landing his single-engine plane. The flight tower told him to land on a runway. Instead, he started descending his plane right by a 737 with over 100 people on board.
He doesn't sound like the greatest pilot ever anymore. You know, it's like please, he's not living up to Star Wars.
Please just take his pilot's license away. This is getting too much. We're not going to see him any more movies, but, you know, let's try and keep him around for something.
Yeah, he had a close call not too long ago. This is the second time out. I would think they would just say, all right, you're done, dude.
To me, the best part of the story was that he actually was heard asking on the recording, was that airliner meant to be underneath me? I don't know, were you meant to be on top of that airliner? So, I mean, it's a little scary. I know that he's experienced, but I think maybe it's time to hang it up.
Yeah, when he puts innocent people in danger, I think he needs to kind of give it up a little bit. We also got some Star Wars news. The Last Jedi is the new title for Star Wars Episode 8.
This has been talked about for so long right now. I think there's so many theories. Is it Rey? Is it Luke? Jedi could be a plural. Everything's out there. I'm sure all of our listeners have seen the discussions about it. I just want the movie, and I just hope it doesn't mean that Rey's the Last Jedi by the end of it.
You think there'll be a cliffhanger like Empire?
I think they're following the formula like that.
Yeah, I'll echo Ron there, because I think it's going to go that way as well. I mean, I'd like to see The Last Jedi be plural, where it is Luke and Rey getting ready to face down the First Order in some sort of cliffhanger. But I still have that feeling that The Last Jedi should be the title of the next one.
Yeah.
Because there's sort of a sense of finality to it. And we'll wait and see. But like Ron, I just can't wait to see the movie. I'm waiting for it.
I agree with everyone.
I do as well. I'm excited to see the film. And I think this really is meant to be sort of a conversation starter. It may actually not have anything to do with the Jedi Order. The name could be just totally trying to throw people off. Who's to say that they don't come the late summer change the title? I don't know. It seems really odd, because it gives a sense of finality, and this certainly is not going to be the final piece. This is not going to be the final episode. So I'm surprised that they really go with this title in episode 8.
You actually heard that Bob Iger had seen it not too long ago, and he enjoyed it. And that happened last time, too, with The Force Awakens. But I don't recall him saying that about Rogue One when that came out. Maybe he just watches the main ones, which watches.
There was a reason that he didn't talk about Rogue One so glowingly.
Well, for some. Taylor, you want to get him now? Now that you have him?
No, I don't like to confront people in person. Only when they can't fight back.
He did see Rogue One. I mean, I'm sure he was with that board of executives that ordered the reshoots.
Getting into Marvel news here. We've been seeing pictures of Pierce Brosnan hanging out with Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds, and it's scaring the crap out of me that he might actually be Cable in Deadpool 2. And this week, I think they had spoken to the director, and he kind of hinted that it's possible that he may be Cable.
Well, I think that when you're super disturbed and you don't like an actor, they always end up doing a pretty darn good job. So I think we could probably put our faith into Pierce Brosnan at this point. Because you hated Heath Ledger's Joker, but he was great. And you also didn't like Ben Affleck as Batman, but he was probably one of the best parts of that movie. So we have it's going to be great.
And you're not a huge Will Arnett fan, and let's face it, he's been the best Batman yet.
The best Batman. I mean, Kevin Conroy. All hail to Kevin Conroy. But yes, best Batman in the movies.
There you go.
Take that, Joe.
Well, no, I mean, I'm saving that for when we talk about that in a few minutes.
But I think he's a good actor, but I don't think he's the right type of actor. He's always plays someone a little more erudite and kind of upper classy than Cable should be. I don't see him as a gritty kind of part. I mean, I think he was decent. I mean, Thomas Crown Affair, one of my favorite movies. And I enjoyed him as Bond, even if the plots for the later ones were bad. But yeah, I think he can do the part, but it just seems very odd that he would be that kind of role.
I think he'll do good. I mean, I've enjoyed Pierce Brosnan in the movies he's been in, even in the later Bond movies that he was in. And I think he'll do a good job. My opinions on the Deadpool series have been noted and logged. But Pierce Brosnan, I don't see that as a bad thing for Cable. I think he'll bring a touch of gruffness to it.
Gruffness?
Now that he's gotten older, you know, he has sort of the no-nonsense kind of air about him when he goes on it. So I think he could do very well as Cable.
The only rough acting he's ever done was his singing in Mamma Mia. Yeah. That was pretty rough.
I mean, gruffness. I mean, I could see him wearing a tie as Cable.
We also have to understand that Ryan Reynolds, who is one of the executive producers, is not going to let this movie not look and feel like X-Men proper. So whoever they choose, they're picking him because they're going to dress him up to look like Cable. You don't have a movie like Deadpool where you have Colossus looking perfect and everything else, and like Deadpool looking like Deadpool in the comics, and then bring in, you know, Pierce Brosnan and put him in a business suit as Cable. Like, they're going to do it right because they know that's what succeeded last time. So you just got to think, like, they've got a plan. And maybe Pierce Brosnan's always wanted to be an action star, like a crazy, like, cool, gruff, ridiculous person, because he's stuck being the pretty boy like his whole life.
Yeah, because he wasn't an action star in the James Bond movies.
But James Bond is a pretty boy action star until you get to Daniel Craig, right? Daniel Craig's James Bond is more gritty, gets his nose like broken a little more. Pierce Brosnan's James Bond got tortured for 20 minutes in a Madonna song. Like, it's just that was more of a torture for the audience to watch, you know? And so it's just, I think that maybe this guy's like, I've always wanted to do this part and I can do it. And he did an audition and they're like, wow, we wouldn't have chosen Pierce Brosnan, but he came to us. Or maybe he's read Cable comics his whole life. We just didn't know about it. He just loves the character. I don't know.
When Jack made his point that Brosnan may bring some grittiness to the film, that actually sort of enhanced my thought as to an actor like Pierce Brosnan being in this film. When you think about the first Deadpool, I think an actor like this would totally change that tone of that film. I don't think he as an actor, and typically maybe it's cast type or typecasting, but when what you've seen of him before, I don't know that he fits the tone of that first film. So I don't know, unless they're going in a totally different direction or Brosnan is playing totally against type, I just don't see where he fits in the tone of a Deadpool film.
There are other characters, particularly in the Cable mythology, that he'd be good for, like Mr. Sinister.
Well,
I want to paint them blue with like
blue. Yeah,
that'd be good.
I could see that. Yeah, I agree. No, I think to me he's too old, he's too skinny, and he's too British. I just don't buy him as Cable. There's no way. And I'm going to disagree with you, Taylor. As far as Heath Ledger was concerned, I didn't like that they announced him as casting, but when I saw him in the makeup, I said, that's pretty cool. And when I saw the first teaser, I was like, that's awesome. And then I fell in love with him. As far as Ben Affleck, that's debatable if he was the best part of that movie. I mean, I'd say Wonder Woman was the best part of that movie.
Well, 100% agree with you there. Wonder Woman was the best part. But he's, like, pretty good part. Like, he was better, you know, we still came out going, he's pretty good Batman. I mean, he's killing a lot of people, but he's all right.
No, I expected worse from him. But he was okay as Bruce Wayne, but I don't know. I still think that you put anyone in a bat suit, any actor, they're going to look good, especially when you have stunt doubles doing all that stuff in the warehouse and all the stuff that he was, like, jumping out of the way with Doomsday.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of Ben Affleck, let's get into this. Ben Affleck dropped out as director of the Batman, and there's a new rumor actually coming out in the last couple of days from multiple sources that he's looking to drop out altogether as Batman. What do you think about that? I mean, I know we've discussed this before. Is the Batman in trouble, and you think they can fix it, or do you think it's going to be delayed, or are they just going to cancel it?
I think that if Affleck drops out completely, it really hurts the franchise and it hurts the DC film universe, maybe in an irreparable way. This is the difference. This is the key and core difference between DC and Marvel when it comes to their cinematic universes. Actors and performers line up to be in Marvel films, and actors line up to drop out of DC films. I thought he was hands down the strongest part of Batman versus Superman. I think that most people gave him a passing grade simply because they think of a stereotypical Ben Affleck from Geely or Armageddon or something where he's sort of a buffoon. And he, in his acting and his directing over the last close to decade, has been anything but a buffoon. He's really become not only a nice, good actor, but he's an accomplished, great director. I think the Batman film is really hurting not having him as the director, and I think that it kills the franchise if he drops out after one movie, which was an ensemble cast, and doesn't even do his first standalone.
This is definitely symptomatic of what's been going on at Warner. I mean, we know they're having issues with rewrites, taking things back to zero, directors, everything has been changing in almost every movie in the works. They don't know what they're doing. They're scrambling to try and course correct. And it seems like there's about five captains of the ship pulling it in different directions. And Affleck trying to get less and less involved is him just being fed up with it, in my opinion. We know that there was major problems between the last two, like with Warner management with the last two movies. And they're, you know, trying to fix it, but I don't think the executives gave up the control that they were supposed to, I'm blanking on his name.
Zack Snyder?
Not Zack Snyder. It was one, it's one of the writers.
Terrio?
Isn't it Loeb running there? Not Loeb.
Jeff Johns?
Johns was supposed to be kind of taking over running their cinematic universe, and I don't think he's getting thing. I think that's maybe just lip service and...
I agree with you, Ron. I feel that way, too.
Doesn't seem like he's been able... Like, you would think you'd see a much bigger imprint from Jeff Johns if he was doing something.
Yeah, like, but he was very involved with the Green Lantern movie as well, and
was
how that went.
Was he really?
I don't know if that was... He was super involved with Green Lantern, and, like, it was interesting trying to... When I think back on the interviews I read, because I was so stoked on that movie, and then, you know, it's still okay, but... Because I like everything. But anyway, so... he was talking about how he's like, it kind of felt like he wasn't as involved. He's kind of like, it's really amazing what they've done with Oa, you know, it's like that, you know, it looks like, you know, they have their own kind of take on it, but it's, you know, still kind of true. And they've got, it feels like he was getting like screen grabs, but it didn't seem like he was like fully in control of that. He was, because he was the lead writer of Green Lantern, DC talked to him and were like, look what we did. And he probably was like, but why does it look like a weird, creepy suit? And they're like, because that's what, you know, the audiences want or something. So I don't know.
And like, do you know the difference between Hal and Guy? Because apparently whoever wrote the movie didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think Ben Affleck's kind of burnt out. You see him, like, in interviews, and he just doesn't look happy. And we've all seen that interview that he did with Henry Cavill, where he just looked so down and depressed, and that was, like, an instant meme for so many things that came out. You could tell he wasn't happy with what they were saying. I think they were saying the critics really aren't loving this movie. And I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of understood where they were coming from. And I think he even mentioned that too in public, that he understood the problems that people had with the movie. But he also, he had two big flops recently with The Accountant and Live by Night. And I think those were Warner Brother Pictures too. And they were kind of relying on him to bring in big bucks. But it's tough though. And when you think about it, I don't think, as far as producing goes, I'm not sure how much work is actually done with that, other than like, here's a check, it's like, let's make this movie done. So he's producer, he's actor, he's director, he's co-writer. It's a lot of things to really get involved with one person. And I can also, after the flop that was, well, it wasn't really a flop, but I guess the negative press that he got from Batman v Superman, even though he wasn't the worst part of it, it's just that it left a bad taste in his mouth. And we don't know about Justice League, I mean, how that's going. I mean, we've seen one trailer. I mean, it wasn't too impressive. So he may be getting cold feet. If the Batman bombs, it's going to basically be all on him. I mean, that he's got so many hands in it.
If the Batman bombs, I don't know what happens to DC in movies. Like, that would be... Like, even if Justice League is bad, people will still go see a Batman movie. But if, like, Batman is really bad, like, what do you do at that point? Like, the last time a Batman movie was bad, it killed superhero movies in the theaters for years. But Marvel is doing so well that that can't happen. Like, it's just too much. So I don't even know what would happen to, like, that's the idea of that is terrifying.
And I wouldn't necessarily say it would bomb. And I wouldn't really say that Batman v Superman bombed either.
Well, no, it's just that, I agree, it didn't bomb, it's just a bad movie, like, review-wise, so it's not well-made, and then they would blame, right, Ben Affleck, which is what you're saying.
Yeah, you don't want to be on the Razzies list again, yeah. But I feel bad for him in a way, because he's just getting a lot of hate right now. I mean, I guess I'm kind of, like, laying off him a little bit, because I do feel a little bad for him. Hopefully it all works out. I did hear a rumor, and this would be so awesome. They haven't officially signed, what was it? Was it Matt Reeves? The guy who directed the Planet of the Apes movies? Is that his name? I mean, I think that that's the front runner to direct the movie. But I heard Ridley Scott is also
Candidate. Yeah, I heard about that too.
I couldn't imagine
Ridley Scott doing Batman.
Oh, I could.
That would be wild.
I could, because like, think about like Alien.
Yeah,
you know, he can make a good like horror movie kind of thing out of the Batman, and that would be a really interesting take.
Yeah, and you know, he does a lot of dark stuff, Blade Runner.
Yeah, Blade Runner.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool, but we'll see. Speaking of Batman, let's get into the Lego Batman movie. I'm curious. I know most of us have seen. Eric, have you seen it?
I have not, and I really do not have any interest.
No, Eric, I love you. I really love you, Eric.
Wait, whoa. What's happening?
You are my man, Eric.
No, don't do this. Don't side with Joe.
All right, Taylor, you go first. I mean, since you have such a big love affair with Batman and Lego.
I do have a love affair with both of those things. You're very right. And they came together and this baby was born. That's amazing. I loved the Lego Batman movie. It for me... my love affair with Batman as a kid started with the 1989 movie. And so it was movie Batman that was what I grew up on. And of course, Batman the Animated Series. I didn't start reading comics till I was in college. So for me, this movie was just a love letter, like kind of to all those old movies. And they referenced them and all sorts of stuff. And then on top of that, it was a love letter to the entire universe that Batman exists in both the negative and positive ways. Like, it not only referenced Adam West Batman with, you know, the shark repellent, but it referenced, like, ridiculous Batman enemies, and every single one of those enemies it was written in a Batman comic at some point, whether it was like one of the weird ones in like the 60s and 70s, or just like the mutant leader who was in there from the Dark Knight Returns, like twice. I saw him twice on screen. I missed him twice. And even the weird stuff for the movies, like having Billy Dee Williams as actually being Two-Face, because he played Harvey Dent in the 1989 as well as the 1991 Batman Returns movie. And then when they made Two-Face, they was Tommy Lee Jones instead, because they changed directors and everything. And so poor Billy Dee Williams, very own Lando Calrissian, never got to be Two-Face, but he was in this. Like, and
that and was then, some really strong acid if it changed him white too.
Oh yeah, well he was black though in the movie,
right?
But yeah, and which I thought was fun as well. And I don't know, it was just this like crazy love letter to all those things. Plus, I love Will Arnett. I love the whole voice cast. And first, I was questioning Zach Galifianakis as the Joker, but the character of the Joker they had in this was a different take, and and everything was, but it was still better than the Jared Leto Joker. Okay, it's still better than.
Yeah, like, that's not saying much though.
Okay,
it was very Cesar Romero-ish.
Yeah, he was very 1960s Joker, which, you know, is that great? I don't know, but Adam West, they had Alfred dressed up in the Adam West Batman suit, and like the, I guess the big spoiler, I don't want to give it away, but when they brought in those other things, that like the end battle was also phenomenal, because it tied it into the Lego Movie universe a little bit more. And they kind of showed that every time they went out to, it's the Phantom Zone. I think one of the other pictures was the Lego Movie universe. Like, they're going to have this weird, crazy connected universe of these Lego movies, because they're all on that same table. Like, this is Batman World right next to, like, the Old West world that they went to Lego Movie? Maybe. Like, it could be in that same room, and now the kid's grown up a little bit for Lego Movie 2, and he's loving Batman. That's why Batman has his own whole thing now. I don't know.
They tied it with the Abyss, remember?
Yeah, because if the table, basically, they're blowing up the table, and it would just, you'd fall to the ground, which is what happened, you know, to Emmett when he left. He fell off the table, and they don't know where that goes. So it was completely tied to that universe. But to me, I like this movie so much more than the Lego movie. That it's, I don't know, I just love it. So.
And if you play Lego Dimensions, you realize there are two Lego Batmans.
Yeah,
there's the one that's very serious, and then there's the Arnett one, which is the one from the Lego movie, and this movie that's kind of goofy.
Yeah, and like what's funny is they even have Will Arnett voice the goofy one, and then Troy Baker, who voices regular Batman in the Batman Lego Batman games, which are different than the Lego Dimensions Batman, but the same as Lego Dimensions Batman, but he runs into Lego Movie Batman. He's part of that world, and they did it great. I think it was great.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I just didn't. Well,
I also enjoyed this. Like, I don't know how did you watch that movie? Sorry, that's my fault. I was talking about it. But I feel like you didn't even see it if you didn't see all those things I saw.
I did. But you go first, Jack. Sorry.
I thought it was great. And I will say it. I think it's the second best Batman movie ever after The Dark Knight. Because I went to a Batman movie and I had a blast. I was laughing at the jokes, and they were fast and furious, constantly hitting you on pop culture, not only just Batman, but Taylor, I remember jokes in that movie that went back to the 1950s era of Batman.
Oh yeah, they had that all the way, that picture.
With the costumes, and you know, when Batman has a different color costume for the day of the week. Mm-hmm. And all the different versions, and just little side things in the Batcave where, you know, he had his trophy room. There were so many jokes just flying left and right. Joe, I don't know how you couldn't have enjoyed it.
I gave it a chance. I mean, I was kind of hoping to enjoy it, but I just didn't. I mean, first of all, I didn't like the Lego movie. I was not a fan of it. I know a lot of people liked it. I mean, and that's my problem. I know the majority of you liked it, and it's probably me. And I'm sure most people that go see it will love it. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of Legos either. I mean, I'm older than you guys, and back when I had Legos, I mean, we just got a box and there were just Lego bricks in there. There were no people in there. There were no instructions, and you just build whatever you were supposed to build. And, you know, or else we had to use rocks and sticks in the backyard.
Sorry, you're only like, what, 3 days older than me? You can't use that defense with me. Sorry.
I enjoyed the movie, but I'm going to say it wasn't, you know, anywhere near my favorite Batman movie, because in my mind, it's still not a Batman movie. It's just a parody. And that's what I think they almost didn't realize at times, is like they were trying to sell it too much as Batman. And it's really not. I mean, he's a totally different, like, Batman's an egomaniac, but not like this.
Yeah, I kept saying, like they kept pushing that he was alone and that he was missing out on life because he was alone. But to me, the Batman that I know, Bruce Wayne, he's a playboy. And like you saw, like in Batman v Superman, he was shacking up with some girls. I mean, he definitely had a good time. He went to parties and all that stuff. I mean, he may not have had a wife waiting for him when he got home, but it's not like he had no friends and he had no life. And so I didn't buy that whole aspect of it.
But it's not real Batman.
I know. It's spoofy. And I have to... Yeah, you're right with that. I couldn't fault it for that. I mean, he definitely was serious. But, yeah, I mean, you're not going to like it, but I'm not a fan of Will Arnett either. I don't like anything that he does. I know he does a lot of animated voices, too. And when I know he's in there, I'm like, ugh. I'm just not a fan of him. Although, I liked him in this. I thought he actually did a pretty good job. And there's not too much I really laughed at, or if I laughed at anything.
Wow.
I laugh at some things, but...
There's no joy in your life, Joe Hopperty.
Yeah.
There were points where things went on too long. I will definitely say that, like, they like, the whole plot of, like, Batman learning to be with other, like, they went over the same thing 4, 5, 6 times. It's just, okay, get on with the kind of message of it and get on with the movie. They kind of missed a couple times. And I think that could have really helped.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I mean, okay, yes, he's getting over, he's starting to trust people. No, now he's not. Yes, he is. No, he's not. Just do it a couple, like, you could do it twice. You don't need to keep doing it over and over again, which is what I felt, how the movie felt.
Yeah, it seemed very long. Like, I didn't like the whole part when the Joker and their crew just kind of gave up, and I just didn't like it. There was really nothing in it that I liked. And I'm not the only one, too, because, I mean, I've gone on boards just to check to see if I was the only one. And there's a lot of people say, oh, yeah, and I thought it was hysterical. But then there are other people that says, yeah, I thought it sucked. I just didn't like it at all. I didn't think it was funny. I kept looking at my watch. That's what I was doing. I kind of, like, was hoping at that point where, all right, the Joker turns in. But, turns himself in and says, well, maybe something will happen and then the movie will end at that point. But then I think Batman said something like, we've got like 20 minutes or something like that to fix this. I'm like, 20 minutes? Oh, no. This thing is never going to end. I didn't like the ending. I told you guys, too, I didn't like the fact that they were rushing through things. It just seemed like, you know, how like, some kids have no attention span and all that. It's like, boom, boom, boom. It's like when Alfred said, remember that time when you went up against Bane and then you went up against the Joker? And I'm like, wait, let me see the part with Bane. Wait, don't go to the Joker yet. Wait, now you're at the Scarecrow. Stop. It didn't give me enough time to, like, focus on it because it was moving so quick, and they did that a lot in the movie.
Also, like, they had Ralph Fiennes in the movie. Why was Eddie Izzard Voldemort?
Yeah.
I found an article about that, I guess. Like, the directors were trying to push for that, but there was some weird pushback from the studio. Or, I don't know who it was. Really? Like, I don't think it was Rowling. Rowling doesn't care. And actually, Rowling helped them with the script. She approved and decided what Voldemort should scream when he was shedding those other weird spells that didn't exist in Harry Potter. Like, she helped them out on those. So it definitely wasn't her. It just, like, the article seemed like, well, we have this guy, and then the argument, and he's like, and they never interact, so it's not like, that'll be weird.
I mean, but, don't get me wrong, Izzard was funny as it, and I think that's probably maybe part of the reason they didn't do it is because he had to be incompetent to be on that team.
Yeah.
So give me your rating.
Talk about the Kraken?
Oh, the Kraken. Oh, wait, was Godzilla in there? Or was that
the
Kraken?
That was Godzilla.
That was the Kraken.
No, because there was a... I know King Kong was next to his other big thing, and then I realized it was the Kraken, because it had all his arms, but I thought originally it was Godzilla. Unless there was Godzilla and the Kraken in there, I don't know. It was going so fast, I couldn't tell you.
Maybe you need glasses.
No, I didn't need glasses for that movie. I wish I had sunglasses for that movie.
Oh.
Alright, give me your ratings, Taylor.
10. 10.
10 out of 10?
This is like my favorite Batman movie in a long time. This is like, I love it so much.
Ron?
6.5. I enjoyed it, but I don't think it was as good as the Lego movie.
And Jack?
I am with Taylor. A 10.
You guys
Tens
out so freely. That's bad.
I'm not giving it out really.
I don't remember the last time I gave out a 10. I gave out 9.75, but 10s, you know, they don't come along.
It's like The Godfather's a 10. And,
I don't even know if I give Dark Knight a 10. Like,
so yeah. You guys have a different scale of what means a 10 to you than what means a 10 to me. I'm not saying a 10. To me, a 10 isn't like a movie that wins an Oscar. All Oscar-winning movies are boring. Okay, they're drama-filled. They're boring. Not all of them nowadays are getting pretty good. But like usually you watch them once and you never have to watch those again because you're like, well, it was drama. I don't like feeling sad, so I'm not going to watch this movie again. So
exactly.
You just... A movie that is a 10 out of 10... is a movie that you would love to watch immediately again and, like, can't wait because it moves so fast to watch every scene and, like, try to capture all the fun references, and it made you laugh, and it made everyone in the theater happy, and everyone was laughing, and you're like, oh my gosh, we're all having such a good time together. I can't wait to go home and have this time by myself. And it's just, like, it's... I don't know, that a 10 out of 10 for me, like, is... one of my top 5 favorite movies, or maybe like one of my top 10 favorite movies, but most
okay,
of those movies...
Taylor scared me a little bit. I'm going to drop mine to a 9.75.
Okay. Well, I gave it a 3.5 out of 10, and I still stand by that one.
I want to write a counter article for this
All right, go ahead.
And I give it a 10 out of 10.
Well, I know it's going to make a lot of money, and kids, I'm sure, are going to love it and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, let us know. What'd you think about it? Did you agree with me? Did you agree with Taylor, who's everything's rainbows?
And Jack.
And Jack. And Ron's in the middle there. And Eric is lucky that he didn't see it.
Yes, somehow somehow at the box office in its opening weekend, the Lego Batman movie bested that burner of all movies, 50 Shades Darker, so... That speaks well to the money it's going to make.
Yeah, I was glad about that, but
yeah.
Yeah, because I think 50 Shades of Grey was one of the highest grossing movies in February until Deadpool dethroned
yes.
it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, because it beat out The Hangover, which then, like, because The Hangover was the biggest one, it beat out The Hangover, and then, yeah, I'm pretty sure Deadpool beat that out.
Yeah, I got to see John Wick 2, and that came in third, and that's a sin.
I need to see that this week. The first one was one of those really unexpectedly fun action movies that there's no reason that movie should have been as good as it was.
Yeah, I agree.
But John Wick had a really nice opening weekend, though. That was, I mean, $30 million isn't... I mean, that's not a bad opening weekend. Especially
for
hard,
yeah.
Sure, I mean, especially considering some of the... I mean, the fact that it went up against 50 Shades Darker and the Lego Batman movie. I mean, that's not a bad opening weekend. That's really good. It's a really respectable number.
Does anybody remember what Kingsman did against the first 50 Shades?
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't think Kingsman did good, but which it deserved to do. I don't even give that one a 10 out of 10, and I'm be very close to doing that for that movie.
Yeah, that's in the solid 9.5 for me. Cause it's
yeah.
Opening weekend was $36 million, so it's right in that John Wick category.
Yeah. Yeah, so out of all those three movies, what is it? Is it 30 Shades Darker? I forget what Lego Batman movie and John Wick 2. I'd suggest go see John Wick 2. Unless you have kids, take them to go see Batman.
Well, I'll take him to go see John Wick first, and then take him to see John Wick 2, because, you know, they need to grow up at some point.
Yeah. It is like a video game. I think you'd like it, Taylor, because it's just like, again, I was saying, it's like watching somebody play a third-person shooter.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. I mean, I love the first one, so...
This is Jeopardy! Let's introduce our contestants. Our first contestant is Ronald Deanna.
Hello, everybody.
And our second contestant, Jack McCarthy.
You've got no right hosting this game, Fogarty. All
right, you've got to calm down.
Should we all do Trump back for the
run? Better not all be Sean Connery. You guys got to mix it up. Do Burt Reynolds.
Hey, you guys like this hat? Bigger than a normal size hat.
Yeah, speaking, there's Taylor Catcher.
Kurt Ferguson.
And our last contestant is Eric Lancey.
Hi, everybody.
I am the host of Jeopardy, Joe Hogarty. And all I can say is good luck, players, and here we go. Please, contestants, remember that you must answer in the form of a question. So here are the categories. Hooray for Hollywood. X marks the spot. Famous S's. Baby, it's hot outside. Gone but not forgotten. And Say It Isn't So, Joe. We'll start with our newest member of the team, Eric.
I will take Hooray for Hollywood for 200.
In the movie Anchorman, Ron Burgundy says this superhero was denied a bank loan. Taylor Catcher.
The Human Torch was denied a bank loan.
That is correct, sir.
Yes.
It wasn't in the form of a question.
Yeah, oh, what the hell, Taylor?
Okay, I lose. You're
who
right.
Who is
okay.
The Human Torch?
Yep, I buzzed Jack in wins. Before Jack.
Wait.
It's true. Eric did buzz in before. He gets it right there. That's it. I messed the whole thing up.
Eric.
Who is the Human Torch? I almost screwed all right. up anyway.
All right, Eric gets that one. All right, yep, next sure next does. Question, Eric.
All right, I will take Hooray for Hollywood for 200.
You just did
or
that.
For, I'm sorry, for 400.
And you lose 200 for that.
Yeah, I lose 200, yeah.
All right. This famous comedian was offered the role of Batman before Michael Keaton, but turned it down.
Ooh, that's a good one.
15 seconds. Ooh, I'm sorry. You all didn't get it. It was Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah.
No one got that point.
I will take Hooray for Hollywood for 600.
In the Incredible Hulk TV series, Bruce Banner's name was changed to this name because executives found his name to be too gay. Jack?
What is David?
That is correct.
You're damn right it's correct, Hogarty.
Hey, wait a minute. All right, Jack, choose your next category and money amount.
I will go for Hooray for Hollywood for 800.
In James Cameron's Spider-Man, I was the original choice to play Peter Parker. 15 seconds. Eric?
Who is Leonardo DiCaprio?
That is correct, Eric.
Oh, good one.
I will close out the category for 1,000.
And it's a daily double.
I will make it a true daily double.
Yeah, my man.
I was the studio head at Fox that was the principal catalyst against the war with Marvel and was adamantly against a Deadpool movie. 15 seconds.
I can't think of the name, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was Tom Rothman. Aww. All right, Eric.
I will go with X marks the spot for 200.
I am the son of Scott Summers and Jean Grey. Was that Ron or Jack or Taylor?
Taylor.
Taylor, sorry.
Who is Cable?
That is correct.
I'll take Famous S's for 400.
I wanted to go to Tashi Station for power converters. All right, say it again, Jack.
Who is Luke Skywalker?
Yes, that is correct.
Let's go. Baby, it's hot outside for 600.
Star-Lord found this power stone on this planet that has its oceans recede every 300 years.
Oh, that's
15 seconds. That is Morag. That was the opening of the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Mm.
No one got that point.
Let's say X marks the spot for 400.
I am Charles Xavier's half-brother. All right, Jack.
Jack.
Who is Juggernaut?
That is correct.
Woohoo! All right, let's go at X marks the spot for 600.
X-Men's Rogue was born in this state. Ron?
What is Louisiana?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ron. Anybody?
No.
Sugar.
That was Mississippi.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's what's his name that's Louisiana. Trick card.
Gambit, right?
Yes, Gambit.
All right, Jack, you're still picking the category.
All right, let's go. X marks the spot for 800.
I was the first X-Men to learn Wolverine's real name. 15 seconds. That was Nightcrawler. All right, Jack, keep going.
All right, let's keep going. Let's go. X marks the spot for 1,000.
My mutant power helped me to recreate my own limbs after losing them in the Vietnam War.
Jack.
Who is Wolverine?
No, I'm sorry, Jack.
I just remember the crossover special with him and the Punisher.
Anyone else? That was the Mutant Forge.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Jack.
Okay, all right. Oh, boy, this is tough. Let's go with famous S's for 600.
I was a clone of Peter Parker that after my stint as Spider-Man, I became this. Is that Jack?
Yeah.
Who is Ben Reilly?
Ooh, I'm sorry, Jack. It's famous S's. That is wrong.
Oh,
then it was Ron. Yeah, Ron.
Ron?
Who was the Scarlet Spider?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Oh, okay.
All right, Ron, you're on the board.
Let's go, baby, it's hot outside for 200.
This planet is a desert planet with access to very little water and where the Millennium Falcon was first seen since Return of the Jedi. Eric?
Jakku. What is Jakku?
That is correct, Eric.
I will go with baby, it's hot outside for 400.
And John Carter, the residents of Mars called Earth this. 15 seconds. Ooh, the answer is Jassoon. That was definitely a difficult one. Okay, Eric.
I will go with baby, it's hot outside for 800.
This planet was the first test of the Empire's Death Star. Jack?
Yeah. Oh,
15 seconds.
Jakara? I can't remember the name of it.
All right.
Wait, it was the full power of the Death Star? That was the question?
No, it wasn't the full power. It was a test of the Death Star.
Oh, never mind. I lose. Fine, just dock me points. It's fine.
Fine, I'll go. Guess I'll try. What is Jedha?
That is correct, Ron. You are on the board, finally.
All right, let's close out the category then.
Jedi Master Sifo Dyas paid this planet a visit to request the construction of a clone army for the Republic. Ron?
What is Kamino?
That is correct, Ron.
All right, let's go back to famous S's for 200.
Before I was Mrs. Reed Richards, I was this.
Jack.
Jack. Who is Sue Storm?
That is correct. You have the board.
Let's go famous S's for 800 since you already jumped down there.
This vessel is the largest class in the Empire's fleet. Ron?
What is a Superstar Destroyer?
That is correct, Ron.
All right, let's close it out. Famous S's for 1,000.
Although most people know me as Doctor Strange, I am also referred to as this. Taylor?
The Sorcerer Supreme?
That is correct, Taylor.
Yes.
was afraid you were going to say Stephen Strange.
No, I knew what you were going for, but either way, that should have counted as it wasn't S.
If someone just said Stephen, yeah, that's kind of...
Yeah.
What is Mr. Strange?
All right, Taylor, you have control of the board.
Yes, yes. I'll take Say It Ain't So Joe for 200.
Oh, these, and I forgot to mention what these categories are, but yeah. I guess you kind of guys got what it is. All right, so Say It Isn't So, Joe. This is actually actors that Joe felt ruined movies or just Joe just hates in general.
This is
anyone who appeared on film.
Who is everybody?
I'm so excited. Please go, Joe.
This actor played the son of a famous archaeologist and adventurer. Taylor?
Jack, actually.
Oh, Jack. Okay, oh, Jack.
Yeah, go ahead.
Phoenix. Oh, geez.
No, I'm sorry, Jack. This is Taylor is next.
It was Eric. Eric got it. Well, I mean, so how do we do this?
If we all buzz, I just say we just do the order.
It's just do the order.
Okay, so then it was Taylor. It was me. Who is Shia LaBeouf?
That is correct. River Phoenix.
River Phoenix played young Indiana Jones, and that's kind of. All
right, Taylor, you have the board.
Say It Ain't So, Joe, for 400. I am absolutely excited about this.
I once played the Man of Steel in a biopic about actor George Reeves.
Taylor, who is Ben Affleck?
That is correct. That movie was Hollywoodland.
Yes. I'll take Say It Ain't So, Joe, for 600.
This actor is considered by most to be the worst Batman and was responsible for the death of superhero movies.
Jack, for sure.
Jack.
Who is George Clooney?
That is correct, Jack. You have the board, Jack.
Let's keep going with Say It Ain't So, Joe.
In the Spider-Man franchise, this actor hated Peter's guts and was his competition at the Daily Bugle.
I guess
it would have been Eric.
Sorry.
He was in the HBO movie about the financial collapse too.
15 seconds.
Who is Topher Grace?
That is correct, Eric. Nice save.
Nice save.
I had it and lost it and got it back. I will finish out the category.
All right. I play the leader of a bunch of rogues whose responsibility was to steal the Death Star plans.
I'll put in for a second. Case.
Was that Eric?
It's Eric. Eric, yeah.
Who is...
15 seconds.
Felicity Jones.
Nope. That is not correct. That's not the answer we were looking for.
No, it's...
Well, then don't say it. anyone else?
Oh, I guess I was next.
What was his name?
As far as it goes, Dominic Riviera?
No.
Who is Dominic Riviera? Well, something like that.
No. Anyway. Both of you guys just lost 1,000 points.
Well, Jack buzzed in next, so it's Jack's up.
And I lost the name as well, so I'm it too, I guess.
Oh, Ron's in.
Ron?
Who is Diego Luna?
That is correct, Ron.
Thank you guys for getting it wrong because it took me a 5 minutes.
I got close with the D on there. I was like, okay.
All right, Ron, you have control of the board.
But not forgotten for 200, I guess.
These are actors that once played superheroes or the like in movies but were replaced by other actors. I never got the chance to suit up in my War Machine armor. Eric?
Who is... oh my goodness. Oh, this can't be happening. He was the first actor signed in Iron Man. Oh.
15 seconds.
Who is...
I'm sorry, Eric. Who was Nick? Was it Ron?
Ron.
Mm-hmm.
It was Terrence Howard.
That is correct, Ron.
All right, let's keep it going for 400.
I was too busy fooling around with my girlfriend and was fired as Spider-Man after insulting Japanese executives. Taylor?
Taylor was fooling around.
Who is Andrew Garfield?
That is correct, Taylor. You have control, Taylor.
Well, at the neck. Well, I don't think there's anything left, is there, besides this? So I'll take 600.
In the theatrical version of Return of the Jedi, I played the Force Ghost of Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, jeez. I don't know that.
Who clicked?
Eric.
I did. Well, in the theatrical re-release, who is Hayden Christensen?
That doesn't count.
I know.
That is wrong.
Sebastian, what's his name? I can't think of his
name.
Wait,
you got a next person.
No, I know.
Who's the next person?
Ron.
Who is Sebastian Shaw?
Yeah.
That is correct, Ron.
800.
I was fired after putting my cigarette out on the chest of my director, who later went on to ruin the Batman franchise. Anyone? 15 seconds.
Can we name the director?
No. That was Val Kilmer.
Was it right? Almost, is it really?
Yeah. No one got that one.
Oh, wow.
No, I was actually thinking Kiefer Sutherland, but I'm like, no, I don't know. Like,
so that's why that's why it was George Clooney instead of Val Kilmer?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. All right. I think all we've got left is 1,000.
That is correct. Yep. I returned to Superman, but was never given a sequel. Jack?
Yes.
Yep. Who is Brandon Routh?
That is correct, Jack.
Oh, I'm back on the board.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know either.
Right now, let's go over the scores. In last place, we have Eric with negative 800. And second to last place, we have Jack with negative 400.
Oh, I'm out.
Taylor is next with 200.
Yeah, woo!
And Ron has 4,400.
So we can't win then, right? Like,
Ron bets $1.
Well, you know what? This is what I'll do. I'll give Ron could wager 10,000. You guys could wager 5,000 each. Taylor can wager 7,500 if he chooses.
Yeah, I'm wagering it all. I think everyone should wager it all. It's not real money.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
All right. So let's go to Final Jeopardy. The category is Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Put in your wages, people, and we will return. We'll be playing Final Jeopardy. And we are back. Players, here is your clue. I am the only actor to appear in an original trilogy movie, a prequel movie, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, playing a different character in each movie. All right, we'll start with Eric. Eric, how much did you wager?
$5,000, and I can't think of who it is for the life of me. I don't know.
Ooh, I'm sorry, Eric.
Yes.
That's going to put you...
I didn't send in anything, so never mind. It's okay. Keep going.
Jack McCarthy, could you tell us...
I wagered $5,000, and I'm going to say, who is Warwick Davis?
That is correct.
Woohoo!
Taylor, by that sound, it sounds like you do not have the answer.
I bet 7,500, and I bet Suck It Trebek.
You have to say it the right way, Taylor.
Suck It Trebek. Suck It Hogarty.
Yes, that's not very funny, Taylor.
Where did you find that jacket? A ladies' store?
Your Canadian paunch.
Don't say anything about my mother. All right, Ron. Right now, Jack is in the lead. You have the chance to beat him.
I bet whatever you said, I think my max was 10,000.
Yes.
So I also said, who was Warwick Davis?
That is correct, Ron. Which means you are our Jeopardy champion. Congratulations.
Woohoo!
I'm doing the little thing where I raise my hands in the air and that fist punchy thing. I don't know what it's called, but yay!
Put your hands in the air like you just don't care.
Actually, just have a couple of listener email that we want to get into. The first one's from Ben Solo. Hey guys, I was wondering, Lucasfilm has had a history of making additional changes to the special editions whenever they release them. Do you think they will make changes to the characters of Tarkin and Princess Leia as the technology gets better?
I don't think so, because I think that was just, and they're very well aware of the kind of kickback against Lucas for doing so. I think they're just going to let these things kind of stand unless there's some reason to edit it in the future.
I agree with Ron. The additions, the changes, the enhancements, that was very much a George Lucas thing. And there has been sort of a revolution against doing that because it was just done too many times. So I really don't expect to see a lot of changes moving forward.
Yeah, same thing here. I think they're going to leave them as they were because I think it was more of an effort pushed by George Lucas than anybody else. And now that he's not involved, I think those are going to be left alone.
I agree, too.
I think we're more likely to see his stuff undone in a future release than see additional changes to the newer movies.
I've often wondered that, Ron, that if we will see if we may see at some point, maybe before Episode 9, where the original trilogy is released, sort of in its original theatrical release. I've often wondered if we would see that. Maybe not so much now, if the sort of the rumor is true that Hayden Christensen may be used as a Force ghost in Episode 8. I think it would be difficult to not have him continue in Episode 6, but I would love to see that happen, even if it is maybe just as a Blu-ray special edition or something.
I think they know how much it would sell if they did like for the 4K release, like actually, like, because you could do it with the modern technology. You can take those Laserdisc versions and up convert them. It's extremely expensive and hard to do. I mean, they just released in the last week or so, we are not going to get Blu-ray versions of Star Trek Deep Space Nine and Voyager because it costs so much to upscale those that Next Generation didn't sell well enough on Blu-ray for them to bother. But that is converting, you know, 170 hours for $40 million as opposed to converting 2 hours for something that would make well more than $40 million on Blu-ray.
Sure, for the largest selling franchise in history. Yeah.
So they can do it, and I think they have the technology to do it if they want to just say, here's the originals, upscaled, might not be perfect, but it's better than what you got.
But they're going to have to work with Fox with that, because Fox owns A New Hope.
I think Fox wants more money, too.
Yeah, I think Fox would say, oh, you're going to give us a cut and we don't have to pay to do this? Okay.
I mean, that's true. I was just talking to someone today, and Avatar Land is opening up in May this year. And we were, like, just discussing this. Wouldn't it be something, and I don't know if they can do it, but if Disney did purchase Fox, because then they would own X-Men, Deadpool, Fantastic Four. They'd own A New Hope. And then they would own Avatar, too.
I don't see that happening anytime soon. I see, you know, Viacom might be getting torn apart at some point in the future if the kind of internal strife keeps going. But I don't see that happening to any of Murdoch's Empire anytime in the immediate future.
And you could start to run into problems with the SEC if Disney just continues to buy movie distributors.
Correct.
That could be a problem.
But there's actually different antitrust rules for the film industry as opposed to regular industries. Normally, in antitrust issues, the U.S. prefers to go against horizontal integration. They don't like that so much, but in the film industry, they actually have been focusing against vertical integration. That may have changed over the last
few years, but that goes back to cases from the 50s.
Oh, that's...
And it's also opposite in Europe, where they prefer, you know, they're not so worried about horizontal. They don't like vertical in most industries. But it, once again, they did the opposite. That's they made the rule that you could not own a majority of production, distribution, and exhibition. So, you know, movie theaters, like, you know, the studios used to control individual theaters, like, oh, this is only going to get RKO movies. And they put a stop to that, I believe, as US v. Paramount.
Yeah, I guess if they have a chance at anything, they probably have a better chance with Sony and Spider-Man, because their film division isn't doing that great. Well, most of their stuff isn't doing great.
And they don't have as wide of an entertainment base as Fox does.
Yeah. All right. Next email is from Jilly Bean. And she says, do you think we'll ever see a Marvel-Star Wars crossover in the movies? And what would you like to see?
I actually wouldn't like to see that. I think about sort of the time continuity problem, in that Star Wars has always been a long time ago, and Marvel is more in the present day, maybe even the future. You're not sort of telling a story in a different dimension in the past. And I don't see where there's a sort of a symmetry. I really don't. I may be in the minority, but that thought just doesn't really... I don't see where it would go. I don't see where it really would bear anything.
I think we already had it with Guardians of the Galaxy. It really was just Marvel characters in a very Star Wars setting.
It was, and I wonder how nervous was Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams that summer when Guardians exploded the way that it did, knowing that The Force Awakens was coming out later that year, or the next year, to, you know, was that going to take, potentially, they thought, you know, maybe some of their fan base away from them, and to see that they both did as well as they did. But you're right, Ron. It really, I mean, if you're going as close to a crossover as you may ever have, was Guardians.
I don't think they were too worried. All they kept hearing was ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
I mean, in my head now, the greatest buddy cop show, in quotes, with all time, would be Star-Lord, Han, and Malcolm Reynolds just tooling around the like whatever galaxy it is, getting into trouble.
Well, we just saw the Lego movie, and look at like all of the different franchises that Warner Brother used. So maybe we could see something like that in Toy Story.
Maybe we could have got a Disney Infinity movie if they didn't, you know, mess that up entirely.
But I think it would be awesome. Go ahead. Was it Jack?
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be awesome, because I mean, I really thought the stylization of the Disney Infinity figures was terrific.
And that still could be taken over by a third party, right?
No, they owned and everything. Like, they killed it for some sort of reason that obviously there was some problems with overstock, but they could have fixed it. They knew what they were doing. They killed it for some other reasons, I think.
Oh, that's just so weird. I don't think, like I said, it could be Toy Story 4, but like maybe... I'd say close to 20 years down the road. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something like the end of an Avengers movie, the very last scene, like you would see Darth Vader walking in maybe through one of the Infinity Stones or something like that. Because, I mean, who wouldn't want to see that? I mean, like where, you know, somehow, is it, what stone would that be used? What stone would it be? I know there's one that...
It would have to be the time gem.
Yeah.
Whoever, a long time ago.
Or a reality? Is there? It's a reality one, right?
There is a reality gem.
It could be, but you'd also have to have like a suspension of disbelief gem, because because Spider-Man has mentioned the movies. He has mentioned the Star Wars movies in Civil War. So it's now in canon that they sort of are poking fun at the Star Wars movies.
Well,
so to do that, you are now suspending disbelief that Spider-Man never mentions Empire Strikes Back in the airport scene.
Yeah, that gem is on Thanos' left hand. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, that's a long time off, but 20 years down the road where they kind of, like, maybe say, or they hire me and I have some ideas, just say, look, guys, you guys want to print money? Let's have Darth Vader fight Dr. Doom. because at that point Fox would have given Fantastic Four over to Disney.
Oh, Dr. Doom would trash the hell out of Darth Vader.
You really think so?
Hell yeah.
I think Doom would be pontificating and Vader just crushes the costume around his head.
Don't forget, Doom is the second best sorcerer in the Marvel Universe.
But he would sit there monologuing and Vader would just be like, whatever, crunch.
Nah, I don't think so, but...
when you're talking about the two studios, wouldn't it make some financial sense for Fox to allow Disney to use or to give them access to the rights to like the Fantastic Four for some sort of profit participation on the back end? Because I could see that being more financially solvent or prudent for Fox to just have profit participation, allowing Disney and Marvel to control the Fantastic Four than it has been for Fox to control the Fantastic Four.
They're doing it out of spite at this point. I really think
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much bad blood there.
There's no reason not to sell it because it's never made any money for them. And, you know, they could have traded it for anything. And I think they're just holding out for something that they want back. And, I mean, they've only got another one. When was that movie at? Was that last year or the year before? But they have 15. What? So they have what? 4 years to put something else into production, mm-hmm. or they lose it again.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're just going to hold out to the last minute.
Yeah, but look what they did with Guardians too. Like when they ended up giving Marvel Ego the Living Planet, and then they kind of went back on that. I mean, Ego is really not that big of a character in the Marvel Universe, and they still complain. They're like, "Wait a minute, we didn't really think you were going to use him as a big character in the movie." It's like, you know, you guys manipulated us by letting us give him to you.
Well, Disney's playing hardball too. I mean, they're specifically, the Marvel editorial decisions are to completely destroy the properties that Fox has in a way that they can't mirror the comics. There's no Fantastic Four book. The X-Men books are a jumble. But, I mean, you know, they were just redoing it with the two new books coming out. But with Secret Empire coming out, they're going to reboot everything again anyway. So who knows what's coming out. But they're specifically doing things to hurt Fox's stuff, except for Deadpool for some reason.
Yeah. All right.
Because I think that's just a cash cow from merchandise for them.
Yeah, it's definitely a cash cow. I mean, Deadpool's in Walmart. Anyway... All right, let's wrap this up. Ron, can you tell our listeners where they can find you and us?
Sure, you could find us on Twitter at NerdAlertPod and NerdAlertPod@gmail.com. I am personally at Gracie's Butler.
And Taylor?
Hey, you could find me at TCatch, that's TK4TCH, or on my YouTube show, Comics Chat with Gat. So just search YouTube.com. Comics Chat with Gat with an S. So Comics Chat. Anyway,
cool. What's the deal? I haven't seen the Comic Chats with Gat. I was waiting for like the new Riverdale review.
Chris hated Riverdale, and so he said he wasn't going to do it anymore. So then I tried doing it myself by like recording my reactions. Then I was going to cut it and edit it with having the green screen have the actual episode behind me, so it would just like show the part. But it ended up being, it was like 4 hours, and I still wasn't getting anything done with it. So I just. But the new actual episode should be up Thursday or Friday, like talking about comic books and stuff.
That's cool. And Eric?
You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, most social media platforms, I guess, just Eric Lancey.
All right, I'm just going to say, I'm going to throw myself into the bag now all of a sudden. You can email me at joebuck01@gmail.com. And you can look for me on Facebook. And Jack, as usual, thanks for just being here, man.
Well, I'm coming out of the Stone Age. I mean, I'm recording tonight from an actual webcam instead of an iPhone, so I'm slowly creeping out of the Stone Age.
All right. So with that, this will be the end of episode 2 of season 3 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. So until next time, see ya.
Stay nerdy.
All right.
Stay classy, U.S.